I would say, that, you know, there's probably other, but we're working on. I think that's you know, those are our big questions. And I did want to ask that question about the Free Speech Radio News, and I think I got an answer. So, you know, so that tells me something. And that's what I need to know.
It sounds like you still have staffing issues, which hopefully I'd like
those
to
are some issues, and we'll be looking at that real hard. So.
Okay.
Right.
I'd like to
Summer?
Yes, who is that?
This is John. First off, what is the mute code? I had to step away for a second. What is the mute code for this thing? I tried *6 and *6. Neither of them worked.
Oh, somebody help me. It's *11, isn't it?
I think it's *1.
*1.
*1.
Thanks, double Charlie. Double pound one. Okay. And then and if you do it again, it toggles it back?
Yes.
Both directions.
Okay. I got a quick comment.
Go ahead.
Whatever the requirements are for national programming, those are the ones you have to meet with regard to figuring out what it would take in order to do that. So one idea that occurred to me was there is national programming available other than Free Speech Radio News, and some of that national programming is available for free. And what you could do is you could find out what the criteria are to qualify for the CPB grant, and to see if this alternative free programming would meet those criteria. And if you could, then you could cut the budget of Free Speech Radio News.
Wait just a minute, though. This is Arlene.
Go ahead, Arlene.
The PNB passed a commitment to PNB that every station would be involved. So whether they carry it or not, it's a requirement that they help support it. And it is a piece of getting our CPB grant is the support that we give to Free Speech Radio News.
Well, my question would be I don't know the strength of the PNB's commitment to that, but is their commitment so strong that they would do it even if they can't afford to do it?
It's not a matter of affording.
It's not costing us anything because the CPB money goes for that. We just have to replace it with something similar. So
no, it's a matter. I went too fast. Let me make the point more clearly.
Okay, go ahead.
The point is, if the CPB money can be earned by Free Speech Radio News, then that's fine, and it doesn't cost us anything. But it doesn't address the problem that DC articulated, that they have a shortage of funding. Now, if there's alternative programming from the rest of Pacifica, other than Free Speech Radio News, that will also qualify to meet the funding requirement for CPB, then that could be substituted, and that would help out the D.C. Cash flow problem.
It won't qualify because we're not paying for it in that way.
Right.
And the other piece is that if we don't support Free Speech Radio News pretty much at the level we are, Free Speech Radio News will go under, and Pacifica will not have a news service, which, at least in the past, the PNB has determined to be a necessary service.
Mrs. Summer, if I may add my voice to this, and the crux of the matter isn't that it's national programming, it's that it's externally produced national programming. So we would simply have to replace it with something else. There isn't something else already in place. And speaking personally, I mean, before we got the Consolidated News with Berkeley, Free Speech Radio News was a separate half-hour program. And I personally liked it. I mean, it's a very well-produced program. It gets coverage from around the world. It's sort of alternative BBC on some levels. I think we get a good deal for FSRN. I don't think there's a really good alternative, and there's no way to internalize that money. So it's a moot point. The other issues are staffing issues, staff that you have to pay benefits to that maybe aren't doing the thing you wish they were doing and could be better utilized. We could still use the Washington Bureau. I mean, even with FSRN, I think if there's staff that could be utilized for news gathering, you're the capital of the country. So I think, you know, I mean, they're separate issues, I think, and that's really...
Yeah, and one of my dreams would be to have someone in place at each station that could provide some national news coverage for us and probably an actual news bureau in Washington with two or three people, but at this moment, there just plain isn't funding for that.
Of course.
We're still trying to pay bills.
Of course, but I mean, you know what I mean, in the future, it's like, I think FSRN supplies us with a valuable news resource that we don't have in-house anyway, and since the money is provided separately, it's a pure benefit to us on all levels, and we can afford to expand that, but it's not going to help us meet our budgetary issues. We've got to figure out how to cut.
Oh, okay, I withdraw my suggestion.
Yeah, yeah, that's okay, because, you know, there's a lot of confusion over FFRN and the CPB funding, you know, on lots of different levels, so it's a legitimate question.
Next report?
The next report should be your fine signal area down in Texas. Mike, can you give us...
Well, I wish I could give you more information than what I've gotten so far.
Okay.
Markeisha did not come to our last meeting, which unfortunately we didn't find out about in too much ahead of time. I am hoping that tomorrow night when we have our LSB meeting, that Dwayne will be able to enlighten us a bit where we stand on the budget process, and that's pretty much all I know at this point.
Okay, that's okay, because, you know, I had anticipated that not every signal area would be able to report anything today because of where we were at our last meeting. So I think, you know, in 2 weeks when we meet again, hopefully by then you'll have had some, you know, interaction with them and know where your budget's at by then, hopefully.
I'm hoping.
Okay. Very good then.
I would just like to add another one or two bits of information.
Thank you, Albert.
Just quickly, supposedly, in my last communique, the basic budget's done, and Markeisha went out on annual leave, and she will not be back on Thursday, and... Mike, for your information, Dwayne was trying to, was hoping to get a hold of Laverne to see if anything had gone up to Laverne so that he could have something for us tomorrow, Wednesday, for our LSB meeting. But since Laverne didn't get anything, we might not have anything at our LSB meeting tomorrow because Markeisha doesn't get back from annual leave until Thursday.
Okay.
This is Laverne.
Okay.
Laverne, thank you.
I spoke with Dwayne today also, so he was going to send an email to see if she could respond, because basically it's done.
It's done, yeah.
It's a matter of sending it to, getting a copy of it. So that's what we're waiting for at this point.
Okay, excellent. Well, you know, we're going to move at the pace that we move as long as we all keep working and getting them done. Hopefully we can get them done on time this year, you know, so...
Tell you, this looks a lot better than last year. We were at about this point, I think, when I came on board in December last year. So
last year was particularly messy, yes.
I think we'll actually have a preliminary for the PNB meeting in July.
That would be excellent, yes. And I think would please everyone. Let's move on to the KPFA. Simon, would you like to go ahead?
Yes, I have very minor news, and it sort of befits my involvement, frankly. It's very minor. But I did connect with Maria, our business manager, and she says that she hasn't been able to exactly populate the template, but she is expecting to be able to do that by June 25. Essentially, when I pressed her for a date, okay, when can I follow up and, you know, get some kind of expense level populated in the template, she kind of, you know, looked for a June 25 date. I think she's obviously been very preoccupied at KPFA with working with Ahmad and others from the national office to figure out the, you know, the payroll reductions, cost reductions that we're trying to implement there. And so, you know, there's no point in populating anything in the template until that has sorted itself out. Meanwhile, I've kind of, you know, started projecting. I've always done this anyway for months, using my own projections to see where, you know, where the station's finances are going. And frankly, it's very easy to do. I mean, I'm just using the run rate approach at the department level. I don't need all the little expense details by GL account. It's almost too much anyway. It's very easy to project what's going on, except for unexpected kind of hiccup things like legal expenses. Other than that, you know, the station's expense run rates don't change all that much. And even the top line, of course, is the one that varies the most. And there, at, given our current sort of year-to-date achievement to plan, we seem to be about at 95% of plan year-to-date in our drives. I'm typically just using 95% of revenue targets or plan to project out, and that has turned out to be, you know, pretty close when each month comes in, like now, the way LaVorne has just reported May, you know, I was within $10,000 of that, just using the 95% approach. So our station is probably going to end up at about $3.8 million. The big question, and then the expenses are going to, you know, the question is going to be strategically, okay, can we grow next year? Are we going to actually stay where we are, like a $3.8 million kind of thing? Or do we have to, you know, concede further? That kind of discussion, I don't even know who's going to have that or who's going to really come to, you know, drive that decision the most. At the expense level, everything is going to come down to how these cost reductions now flush out, which is probably going to take a few more weeks. And in general, the fulfillment rate actually is also behaving pretty much as budgeted. That's very positive. And my job, I think, is going to be to just essentially kind of convey some of this to the board. That seems, frankly, quite, you know, the LSB seems to be quite disjointed and detached from this, and maybe it's for the better. And they don't know that, frankly. They have no idea. You know, they think that they want to have, like, practically line item detail levels of everything, and can get very overextended at details, but they have no idea in some ways how this process is going to work. Neither do I, frankly. But you know, I'm just kind of in between them, I think, and the actual players, which is, you know, Ahmad and Maria and Arlene and LaVorne, who are probably, I don't know, maybe the membership director as well. But everybody else is just going to have to take pretty much what comes our way from the decisions that are made, I think, by those main players.
Thank you, Simon. I have a comment, but I'll take a stack.
Alberto will get on the stack.
Okay, go ahead, Alberto, please.
You're a man after my own heart, man. I really enjoy it. All of us struggle with those kind of concepts that you've brought forth. And sometimes we all say the same thing. I'm glad that the local station board really doesn't look at everything. And at the same time, I hear that, you know, sometimes we hear people wanting to do line item vetoes. But the wash is going to be at the end when everything washes out. My question to you is, and I think you kind of mentioned it, but let me ask you again. As you have been doing, you're looking at the month-to-month-to-month-to-month in and outs, your little personal assessment on the function, on the financial functions of the radio station, and you're saying you're very close. Are you looking at the actual financial income when you do that, the money that's coming into the bank?
Do you mean cash?
Yes, yes, yes.
I am, but, you know, cash is kind of the underreported metric in this whole financial system that we have, I feel. And in my projection, it is the somewhat weak link. Because I am kind of course, it all comes down to cash, right? Cash is king.
Yes, sir.
In the end.
Yes, sir.
So I'm having a very, very simplified cash projection where I'm just using last month's ending balance and I'm acting as if nothing happened to it except the net income or net loss.
Right.
As if everything pretty much stays, you know, as if there were no changes to the balance sheet. And everything flows almost through.
Yes.
That's what I'm using for better or worse, because I have no way of projecting the elements of the balance sheet, like how accounts payable is behaving, or any of that. So when I do that and I you know project out cash, then of course it's a very simplified version. I'm also assuming in that view that we all that the station always pays central services, which it doesn't necessarily always do.
Okay.
And of course, you know, the all important thing is where do we end up at year end? And that is still a concern. I mean, everything depends on revenue number one and two, the cost reductions under consideration. I do see that it's, you know, looking better right now than it did 2 months ago because KPFA has had a very good fund drive, I mean, pledge drive. And so it's not quite as dire looking now as it was before, but still there's, you know, there's considerable concern because we're probably going to end the year, September, with something along the lines of 200,000 or 300,000 at the most of unrestricted cash. And we know from past that in the first 5 or 6 months after that, we, you know, the station typically burns 400 or 300,000.
Sure.
So that there is not a lot of cushion there. That's just kind of the problem. But yes, I'm always trying to essentially bring it down to the cash level, but it's difficult. And the cash reporting or the cash flow or even the balance sheet is not really reported very well.
Right.
And frankly, the station business manager is not all that much help that way. She barely is able to really tell me exactly how all the cash adds up. And she really has no view of the balance sheet. I've definitely, you know,
sure,
learned that because she just does. There are a lot of entries to the balance sheet that she does not make.
I know. Thank you, Simon. That's interesting. Very good.
Did I hear someone on the stack? Okay, I had wanted to make a couple comments. I think, you know, the last thing you said highlights the need for training. I think there are, you know, potentially issues all over the network in that regard. Continue working on those things so we, you know, better understanding in all staff of the software we're working with. And
Lauren Summer?
Hi,
hello?
Lauren. I know you're working on that. I know you keep working on that.
No. I can't hear you. That's what I'm
I'm on a funky phone. You're the second person to say that. I can't do anything to make it go louder. I apologize. Anyway, the other thing, Simon, is to give you heart. You know, I hate to say it, many of the LSBs seem frequently disengaged from the most important process of the your function on the board virtually, besides hiring, which is the budget. You know, just continue what you're doing. You know, you have to be just practical and hope you have a few engaged people in the finance committee. And, you know, and I think, you know, if you explain things clearly as to what the major issues are in the budget to the LSB frequently, you know, most people are, they're willing to pass a budget if they understand what the major issues are and the major items and stuff. And, you know, and do the best you can because it's pretty hard to get people to engage on numbers, frankly, in my experience.
Here, here.
Arlene.
Please, go ahead, Arlene.
Simon just brought up a very important point, and that is that we have to not only look at the way we're going to finish out the year, but we have to take into consideration that we really, in most stations, have to supplement what comes in during the first 4 months of the fiscal year. October through January usually generate more expense than income. And consequently, there has to be enough cash in the coffers to cover that difference to get through January. So that's just another piece of the wrinkle that has to be taken into account.
Well, I think you highlight on something important there, Arlene, because I know last year we were looking at a budget shortfall for the end of the fiscal year in September, and Ephraim and I looked backwards and saw, well, the previous year the fund drive was had begun 2 weeks early in September, right? So we just adjusted the budget up. And, in fact, that's what happened. The fund drive was moved up. But, yes, it can be a real problem, you know, depending on how the spring fund drives go in terms of already being kind of behind the eight ball in a cash perspective by the time we have our fall fund drive and have to get through winter. So I don't know how we're going to resolve that, but we shall be aware of that.
Yeah, it's something that everybody needs to be taking into consideration and looking at.
Yeah. Okay, I think now on the next signal area, my signal area, KPFK, I had introduced John Langer to several of the people before we were on the stream, but for the stream, Fred Plunger, our prior treasurer at KPFK, has stepped down from that position because of work commitments, and John Langer, who's an LSB member at KPFK and has been a member of the local finance committee for several years, has stepped up as new treasurer. So I'd like to introduce him to everybody. He's spoken a couple of times, but he's now our treasurer from KPFK. So go ahead, John.
Okay, Anthony got the template from Bertolt yesterday and worked on it today. He said there were some problems in it, and he was working to resolve those inconsistencies. And I asked him about the input, whether he'd yet received the input from the operations guys, and he hadn't, but he said they're going to be meeting tomorrow to discuss the capital items. So if the operations director meets with the various people and they get their capital in, then I think he said he'll have enough data to plug it all in and complete the template. You know, basically you'll have the data by the end of tomorrow. And the a couple of a general kind of comments too from LSB input. The a number of people on our LSB are concerned about the elections things, and there's talk about budgeting for the expected legal expenses that'll come when we get sued, and so we're going to be talking about that. It's just sort of a heads up. I don't know if that's going to be a problem around the network or not, but there are problems with the election in KPFK because we're halfway through the month of June and they just started the on-air recruitment of candidates this last weekend, either Saturday or Sunday. And the other thing is that we're going to have to be looking at I believe the PNB's had a hiring freeze, and we've got people that are being hired for on-air personalities, on-air hosts, and they're not in the budget. And it's not clear how we should be handling that from a finance committee point of view. And I'd like to learn more about that. But it does seem that we need more producers and fewer paid on-air hosts, but that's just an impression we have. So that's really all I have, because that's the data I got from him. It really got started yesterday when LaVarne sent him the template, and he's filling it out, and it should be more or less complete, he said, by tomorrow after he gets, well, at least the day after tomorrow, after he gets the data from the operations group. So that's really all I have.
Thank you, John. And I'd like to follow up on something that John had said. There. Well, a couple of things, actually. LaVarne, because I had meant to ask this. Are we network-wide with the five stations using the same new template prepared by Bertolt, or are some of the stations using the old template prepared by Ephraim? Has that been deployed at every station, the new one?
Yeah, what we agreed to do with the business managers is that we will work one-on-one with each business manager so that we will show them how to create the template to meet so that they can input theirs in. Because the template is basically, if you change the assumptions, then it just roll out, plus the business manager has to put it. The only one that's really an exception is that you have to put in the payroll, the staff and the payroll, so that will definitely differ by station. So what we've agreed is to work with each business manager, and we will just tailor it. And like the KPFK, Bertolt did that. But in talking with Anthony, we had to explain is that Anthony actually can make the changes and put in new assumptions, because when Bertolt does that, it costs us additional for his hours because Bertolt is no longer on staff. So Bertolt has it laid out. Anthony does need to make some changes in the assumptions based on the direction he gets from Jennifer and from Bob and the other department heads. And that for each station, like with T, what Markeisha has done, I believe, is just to, you know, she would just add her staff and then put in her her assumptions, and the same way will work for all the other stations. And with BAI, since BAI's number was just really, as our poet said, were really the basis for the template, budget is basically done, except for, you know, some changes in what we'll have to do in July when we meet with the general managers, is to determine, you know, as the points you've made earlier, when these fund drives will be scheduled. So these issues that have popped up this year, like with KPFK, the impression of a continuous fund drive, that can be eliminated, because that is not good.
Yeah, I thought it was a terrible burnout, and people like
thought
it was a terrible burnout. People who listen to the station and donate, he said, are you in fund drive still? And I'm like, no, not really, just sort of, kind of. And I'm like, this is a disaster.
Those things that are, you know, definitely, you know, we're going to try to, and pulling these general managers together, you know, my request is that we go over these issues on the fund drive so that they can understand that, again, this can't happen, because KPFK just knocks out those fund drives every year. I mean, every fund drive, you know, you call people up. I mean, you ask people to donate. They donate, and they donate by credit card.
So we can't
allow it to happen again. This is very poor, very poor planning to do that and to have that news so that it seems like you're forever fundraising at K, because that's not the road to success.
And I brought up this issue, in all honesty, to staff at the station like 2-3 weeks before the fund drive started, because I thought it was a bad idea. We were playing KPFK during the news and stuff, you know, and I was told like it could be clipped at the end of it, so that it didn't. Anyway, we've got to like those type of things. Those are network-wide issues, you know what I mean? Like we really
exactly.
Be on top of those, because if they affect us by $100,000, not too fast.
I think that what we're trying to do is that what we're trying to do is to establish, you know, a success model, not a failure model. And those things that definitely can lead to failure, we've tried to eliminate those as best as possible, including getting this issues at KPFA where there was a reduction in force at the other stations a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, getting that in place and getting that done.
There's also one other issue that comes into play, and that is the role of Amy in fund drives.
Yeah.
And particularly when you've got situations like KPFA and KPFK, if they're both fundraising at the same time, we run into sometimes the issue of mistaken phone numbers and IDs, and so that's another issue we have to work on, working out an equitable and good way to utilize Amy during fund drives.
Yes, of course. So better coordination on these issues. And just to clarify, LeVar, just on the template issue, only because of the budget, everything that flows down, is basically the new template is being deployed at every station, but on a case-by-case basis.
Right, exactly.
Okay. And are they able to import data directly, all these business managers, or do they have to re-enter?
They have to reopen.
Well, they're basically re-entering.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's not...
They have to reopen. They have to reopen and change numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and you put the numbers in the assumptions, and it should go through the...
The formula.
Easily after that.
To the budget.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
I think there were a couple of issues raised, John, that you raised, and since we have an executive session, Paul, I think we'll probably need an hour for that executive session in 2 weeks. I think it is... We had discussed this locally on the potentialities of litigation in budget considerations, not just because of any specific issues to our station or anything going on. I'm not even keeping up with the chatter right now, but in general, the past history of litigation associated with our elections is a budgetary concern, and it would be unwise for us to prepare our budgets for the year without taking a historical perspective to each station situation. There's been 100% cases of litigation in every election, then we have 100% probability. We should look at that. So I think it's, you know, in a non-political fashion, just from a financial perspective, we should consider that signal area because this is an election year, and it might be something we're not considering. We should just make sure that we look at it. So I'd like to take a look at that executive session. And also the issue of staff, whether it's hiring freezes at our station that there's concern that maybe they're not being honored, or maybe that there's not a hiring freeze in place anymore, but there's confusion over that issue. And Bruce brought up issues for D.C., and we know those issues are going on at KPFA. So I'd like to see a little time, because those all affect what our budgets really look at. You know, it's great to say staff cuts are going to happen, but then we get totally erroneous budgets if they don't happen. So I think maybe if we could spend an hour in executive session, it would help us to complete the budget.
Summer?
Yes.
Let me just make one statement about hiring freezes.
Thanks.
It's not really totally a hiring freeze. It is in the sense that any new staff position needs to be the HR office through Ahmad, in other words, through the HR department, with justification both for the need and the expense.
Yes. Well, there may be concern that those policies aren't being followed. And those things should be discussed with you in executive session.
And I would just like
add
that there was a discussion of that very quickly, and it's open mic. And there was some kind of change, and Grace is the person that made that kind of change just before Arlene came in, because we at KPFT utilized the little change just before Arlene came in July, August of last year. So I would encourage you, Summer, to... that's the way I speak. I would encourage you to ask Grace, because we went through the treasurer and the National Finance Committee chairman then to, at the request of the acting executive director, and we did a minor modification here at KPFT July, August of last year. So I'll be more than glad to talk to you privately
about it
if you need to.
Thank you. But remember, there was a brief period.
Yeah.
So I will check with you.
Sure.
I'd like to clarify, because there's
something
that, you know, sometimes a budget line item doesn't appear to be out of whack, but that's because you don't have that position filled, and it doesn't necessarily mean that a new hire should have been made in the category than it was. So, you know.
But there's a little history there.
Yes, okay. But, yeah, I think we could have clarification, because it's come up now for three signal areas as to what's going on with either hiring or staff reductions.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Is it appropriate at this point in time to call for the wonderful question?
You mean
or
that?
Do we want to stay on the phone for another little while?
Oh, no, I would be so grateful if you would...
I move to adjourn until Tuesday next. Not this coming Tuesday, but the following Tuesday at the same time
June 29th.
Same phone number and the same access code.
Yes, please. I would be most pleased. Are there any objections to that? And hearing none, thank you all for your time this evening, and have a great 2 weeks, and we'll speak again on June 29th.